It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Friday. Light the tower on the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. I am Jeff Howe. We've technically not lost our way because we know where Craig is. Craig is on his way getting set up at UFC Udishfok Field. And judging by the skies outside, I think there's a decent chance we're playing baseball on schedule today. 1 o'clock, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch here on the Horn. It's Texas and Southern, game one of the Austin Regional. Longhorns number 2 overall seed in the tournament. Tristan Stevens on the bump. 100% capacity at the dish. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day for baseball in Austin, Texas, and life in general in Austin, Texas. I'm Jeff Howe. Let me bring in my colleague behind the glass, our esteemed producer, the publisher, curator, otherwise majordomo of FlexATX.com. He is Snoop Daniel. Snoop, how are you today, sir?
Ta-da! What up? I'm doing great, man. I got my coffee. It's the weekend. Hopefully, we'll see some Georgetown softball state semifinals here at 1 p.m., which, by the way, it was supposed to be a Red McCombs Field. But because of the rain delays yesterday, they pushed the 3A games to this afternoon. So now Georgetown has to play at Leander Glenn campus on turf. They're playing Aledo. So after this show, that's where I'll be going, weather permitting.
Right. So just a lot of great stuff going on today, high school-wise, college-wise, and we'll have some We'll talk a little bit of everything in the 1 hour we've got today. So here's
we only got an hour?
Here's how the shows are going to be staggered today. No, because I think you got confused, Snoop, because we had a plan and then there was the weather permitting plan. Mm-hmm. But now that we're not under weather permitting, we can proceed as we normally were planning on today for an abrupt preempted show.
Okay.
So here's how it's going to go. So Light the Tower today is only going to be an hour. We're going to be on from 10 to 11. We're out at 11 o'clock. That's when she'll get shirts and skins. At 11, they will take you up to 12:45, which is pregame for Texas and Southern from UFC Udishfok Field. Snoop, okay, so we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. I've got texts coming in. Snoop, I guess read that text and figure out what it means that we just got and see if you can bring Craig in.
Oh my God. What's wrong? My stupid phone is not showing me notifications. UT Baseball Channel. Okay, I'm going to check. Thank you.
So we're going to have Craig on here in just a second.
All behind the curtain.
We've got Longhorn football to talk about in our Longhorn notebook today. We've got basketball, Longhorn basketball news that we'll talk about, a nice piece of news this weekend for Chris Beard and company. We've also got Inconceivable today, and it is Friday, so it is our pack break Friday, our card break Friday. We've been breaking a lot of baseball as I get back into the trading card hobby. I love that hobby. We've been breaking a lot of baseball. We've done a little bit of basketball. Haven't done any football, and I got the itch to do football. So during the break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it. I love this product. This is Panini Chronicles Football. So if you can, those of you watching on Twitch, thank you so much. You're looking for basically one of those three guys on the pack. You're looking for Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert. That's what you're looking for in those packs. And our Pack Break Friday is brought to you by our wonderful friends, our wonderful partners at browneyeclothing.com. Brown Eye Clothing, they are going to be a very, very vital part of colorectal cancer awareness in the greater Austin area. 20% of their sales are going to go to colorectal cancer awareness charities and causes in the greater Austin area. And, you know, the numbers are out, so now they're recommending you get your first colorectal cancer screening at age 45. People in the age 20 to 29 bracket, it is the number one killer in the future for people in that age bracket. So make sure you get your screening done by age 45. So big thank you to the folks at Brown Eye Clothing, browneyeclothing.com. All right, Snoop, do we have Craig?
Not yet that I see. Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Snoop, you effort Craig. We'll go ahead and get started. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. Yes, the game will be televised. It's on Longhorn Network, so you can sync it with Craig's call of the game today. Hey, and if you're not doing that anyway, you're just doing life all kinds of wrong if you're not syncing the game to Craig's call. So it'll be Craig and Roger today from the booth calling the action. I'm a little bit distracted by what's going on back there. Snoop, give me thumbs up or thumbs down on if we're – no, your Snoop is saying no. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and proceed. There are a couple things I did want to talk today. One is Longhorn football. We'll talk Longhorn baseball in the Longhorn Notebook, and I'll just give you some things to watch. I'll just give you some things to watch during the Super Regional. But right now, let's go ahead and talk some Longhorn football. We are – now, 92 days away from kickoff. So I thought about a fun fact of the day today, as we do each and every day here on the show, now that we are under 100 days until kickoff. And I started thinking about, well, you know, you could go, you know, different folks that have worn 92. Larry Dibbles is one that I think about was a standout that wore number 92. And I think a Reggie Wilson wore 92 during his career. So you could have gone the 92 route. Or, you know, when we come back into the studio on Monday to do the show, we'll be talking about the 80s. The 90s will be done because tomorrow's 91, Sunday's 90. Monday will be 89 days until kickoff. So I thought about, you know, rather than jersey numbers or years, the number 90 itself, 90 plus, if you will, is significant because there's one guy on the roster and, you know, I made a – well, okay, so we have Craig now? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there he is, the voice of the Longhorns, the Hall of Famer, the franchise, Craig Way, on with us live from UFCU Dishfuck Field. Craig, do you hear me? Do you copy?
Loud and clear.
Awesome.
Loud and clear. Yeah. That was just a familiarity thing with something that Snoop was – Snoop is normally right, not rolling in with baseball, so that's why. So that's why. But we're all good.
Now I know.
Yeah.
All right,
we're all good. We're here,
Craig. Yeah, so set the scene. What is anything happening right now? Anybody on the field working out?
Yes.
And Dish Falk, for those of you who don't know, the Dish, the weather patterns and the weather situation at the Dish seems to be different from anywhere else in the greater Austin area. So, what is the weather like right now, Craig?
Well, it's obviously cloudy and overcast, but there's no rain. And you asked if somebody was working out on the field. Absolutely there is. There's one dude on the front of the pitcher's mound working on the landing area. So, yeah, it's happening. They're putting the, you know, doing all the usual work to get the, prepare the mound. I was having dinner last night with Tim Healy. He's a longtime play-by-play voice of the Arizona State Sun Devils. We've known each other a long time. And Linda and I took Tim and his analyst, Max Roster, former ASU catcher. They wanted some Texas barbecue. We went over to Terry Black's. So we were over there last night. And while we were there, Max was asking me, because it's his first trip to Dish Falk. He just missed out on the Super Regional in 11. He was playing JUCO ball at Central Arizona at the time, and he transferred in and started in 2012 at ASU. But he was asking me about it because now it's field surf, right? And I said, yeah, all the way around. I said, except the mound. He goes, well, yeah, that's the – he goes, the mound's always dirt, right? And I'm like, not always. I said, there's three spots in the Big 12 you can go to where the mound is field turf. And he said, really? I said, yeah. You go to Kansas State, and Oklahoma, those mounds are field turf, and they replace the front piece of the turf by the landing area every year. They have to because it gets worn out, just like the sliding pit areas would get worn out here at UFCU Dish Falk Field, where they wind up replacing those, from time to time. But the field itself looks fine. Of course, as you pointed out, Jeff, it always drains very well here, and it's a field turf surface. It can be made ready to play. To Snoop's point earlier, that's the very reason why Georgetown's having to play a state semifinal up at Glenn and Leander. Field turf. They can get it ready to go, and they can play and have it ready to go a lot quicker than they could at McCombs, which, of course, has the complete dirt infield, and that is hard to keep from getting wet and muddy and all that other stuff, not to mention the water that the outfield grass takes on there. So that's more of a challenge, clearly, for the UT grounds crew across the street at McCombs, and they work so hard to try to get everything ready to go. But their hands are full with that, with all the rain we've had, and, I might add, more rain expected later today. The big hope, obviously, Jeff, is that it stays away, certainly for this afternoon's game between Texas and Southern.
Yeah, so we've gotten some feedback on the Specs text line. Apologize to the listeners. We've been a little discombobulated this morning, but we didn't go to break. Craig is on with us right now, live from USCU Dishwalk Field, getting ready for today's opening game of the Austin Regional. It's Texas and Southern, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch. You can hear it here on the Horn. It's broadcast on LHN, but like I said, you're doing life wrong if you're not syncing Craig's call to the TV broadcast and just doing it that way and enjoying some baseball. I'm sorry, people. I'm not going to go through and explain how to sync the call, but you can. There's ways to stream it and do it, so just I don't have time to go into that right now. It's a little too inside baseball. Craig, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but as you've been around the program a little bit and you've gotten to, you know, kind of take the pulse of this team, mentally, where are they coming off of Oklahoma City? Admittedly, you know, they didn't play well. They scrapped out a couple of wins. David Pierce said several times that he feels like they got done what they needed to do, got out of Oklahoma City what they needed to get out of it. But overall, where do you think this team is going into this game today mentally?
I think they're in a good place, and I think they're really excited about getting back to playing postseason and getting back to playing at home. I'll give you an example. This team, as you pointed out, they struggled at the plate. I think they hit 179 at the plate during the Big 12 tournament. They pitched very, very well, and they played defense largely really well, with the exception of a couple of moments. And one of those moments, believe it or not, it was surprising to see, it was the play of Mitchell Daly. Mitch has been incredible all season long at second base, but he struggled in Oklahoma City. He committed three errors in four ball games up there. And, you know, I remember Keith saying for years and years that Keith Moreland talking about how the infield dirt at Bricktown is like a brick. It is rock hard, and they can water it and water it, and they had some rain up there too, and still the thing just dries out, and it is rock hard. And I thought it was probably difficult for Mitchell to adjust to that. He had a couple of bounces come up on him, which normally we would see him make because it would take a little truer hop coming off the field turf here at the dish. And he just and struggled with some of that. So he did fine in the last game against Oklahoma State, but in each of the prior three ball games Texas played, he committed an error. Well, he's back in his comfort zone now. All these guys are. They've had a chance to work, even working around the rain. They've been in their facility. So I think there's a comfort level that goes with that, what goes with being at home. And there's an eagerness to try to shelve what went behind him. You know, the conversation I had the other day with Ivan Melendez, here's a guy who was battling a stomach bug and a stomach virus all the way through. He had one hit and 10 at-bats with three walks, and he struck out 9 times. And I would imagine you kind of feel good about having the second chance. And he said, I'm blessed to have a second chance, because I look at some of those guys in the tournament, their season was over, and I certainly didn't want my season to end like that. So there's, I think, a renewed focus and commitment on the part of the offense to be ready and to go to work doing what they need to do today to take care of business today against Southern, not looking forward to ahead to anybody else, just looking to the opponent today and getting ready for today's game.
Craig, I was thinking about this, and I don't know, maybe this is just my brain going too far down the rabbit hole, but with the weather situation, and I'm sure David Pierce, I don't think that played in, he and Sean Allen, I don't think this played in their thinking in naming Tristan Stevens the starter for this game today, but, you know, with the threat of maybe some severe weather rolling in, or at least some rain rolling in, not a bad thing to have a guy on the mound that's known to pitch to contact, work quickly, and can keep his pitch count down and get you through a game pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can add the words "that too" with all of the other considerations that they would have about Tristan and why he would get the call. I can name you probably 10 different reasons, or at least a handful of reasons why Tristan would get the call today over Ty Madden. There are things like, as Keith Moreland told us yesterday, strike thrower. And not to say Ty Madden's not a strike thrower, but a different kind of strike thrower, one that gets you to perhaps chase his breaking ball a little more, to hit it onto the ground, and also a guy who holds runners pretty well, because Texas Southern, if they get on base, is going to want to try to steal. I think they've stolen 78 bases in 101 attempts this year. So that's right about where Texas is. In fact, it's a little more. Texas 72 out of 92. So the Jaguars were wanting to be on the move if they get runners on base. Tristan does a pretty good job holding those runners on base as well. So there's those kinds of reasons. I think there's something to this, and this is just me. David Pierce hasn't really done this, but hasn't really said this. But I think there is something to be said for trying to get Ty Madden back on full rest. And Ty is a bulldog, as we know, just like Tristan. He wants the ball and he wants to go. But the last 2 weeks, he's gone on one day less rest. And it might have affected, location of the fastball, which is where he struggled over the last couple of ball games. And getting back and getting a full amount of rest, in fact, it's been 9 days since he last pitched, I think it's going to help him. And he would be ready to go, obviously, in game two if the Longhorns win. Hopefully that's game two tomorrow night against either Arizona State or Fairfield in the winner's bracket there. And then you can come back with Pete Hansen. If you take care of business the first two ball games, you're one win away from the Super Regionals, and you hand the ball to Pete Hansen, you feel pretty good about that. So I like the way that he set this up. Now, I'm going to, here in a few minutes, go down and visit with Coach Pierce to do our pregame conversation, and I'm sure David will have some other, if not similar, reasons for the conversations, for his decision with what to go with Tristan today.
Well, Craig, have a great call, and we will. I'll see you here later at the dish.
I'll leave you with this: the sun is out. There's bright sunshine now. Not to say the clouds are gone; they're not. They're around, but the sun is out and shining on the field at UFC Udish Fog Field.
Outstanding, Craig. Have a great call. We'll see you here in a little bit.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Craig.
You bet.
There he is, Craig Way from UFC Udish Fog Field. Before we go to break, Snoop, we've got some breaking Texas basketball news to get to. Boy, this is massive. So the recruiting dead period was lifted on Monday. Now we talk about it for football, but not just for football. Well, Tuesday, actually. Not just for football, but for basketball. And it is a massive weekend for Chris Beard and the Texas basketball staff. They are hosting, Snoop, on an official visit this weekend, Keontae George.
I've heard that name.
6'4", 190-pound guard from the Metroplex. He goes to iSchool Entrepreneur Academy in Coppell. He is the number one ranked player in the state of Texas, according to both our 24/7 Sports in-house rankings and the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. In the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, he is the number 6 overall prospect in the country in the class of 2022. So this is a massive weekend for Chris Beard and the program to get Keontae George on campus. He's on an official visit with his mother. His mother, Kristen's accompanying him. Kentucky, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Kansas in the mix for him as well. So this is a top 10 player in the country, the number one prospect in the state of Texas, Keontae George. So everybody's excited about the excitement for Texas basketball with Chris Beard and this staff coming to Texas. It's been a long time, Snoop, since people have been this pumped about Texas hoops. Not just, we've got the new hire. You've got the Moody Center coming. You're getting the Letterman back involved in the program. Anytime, guys like TJ Ford and the legend of this program can, boom, put their stamp of approval on a hire, it's a great thing for the Longhorns and, a really good coaching staff. Chris Beard brought to the 40 acres. Again, the new facility's coming. So a lot of good things to sell right now for Texas. It certainly seems to be a program on the way up. And Keyonte George, well, you talk about a guy that can come in right off the bat.
And
really just be a guy that you build your program around. A guy that can, I mean, honestly, Keyonte George is the kind of guy that has the potential to do, you know, he could be for Chris Beard, what T.J. Ford was for Rick Barnes, the guy, you know, the T.J. Ford, and you had guys like Chris Clack and guys that were McDonald's All-Americans come to Texas, but T.J. Ford, at least in my lifetime, was the guy that kind of made it cool to come to Texas, like had played on those great Fort Bend Willow Ridge teams with Daniel Ewing and Ivan McFarland. And I remember seeing him in the McDonald's game and just the buzz about T.J. Ford coming to Texas. Keyonte George, a guy who, you know, I heard Snoop, his favorite player is Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
So not a bad guy to model your game after. But Keyonte George could do that same thing for Chris Beard that T.J. Ford did for Rick Barnes, that type of player. And, again, you're talking about the top-ranked player in the state and a top-10 player in the country. So Keyonte George, five-star guard from the Metroplex on his official visit to Texas right now. And we talk about, you know, 100% capacity at the Dish. It's going to be lively today for that regional. I heard that basketball staff making their way out there today. So if you see, you know, if you see the Chris Beard and the Texas coaches out there, maybe you see Keyonte George out there.
Mama George, what's up?
It's a big weekend for everybody on the 40 acres. Obviously, with the baseball team's got going on, football team doing their thing on the recruiting front, and Keyonte George visiting his official visit to Texas this weekend. So good vibes all the way around on the 40-acre Snoop, on the recruiting front and on the field/court, diamond, what have you. As David Pierce said after Texas wrapped up the Big 12 championship a couple of weeks ago, it's a great time to be a Horn. So, I said it the other day, man, I just feel like this athletic program, you know, you see it in all the other sports. All the other sports have it clicking, and with everybody at the top of the athletic department aligned, you know, you've got Steve Sarkisian now running the football program with Chris Beard, his track record, and where it looks like this basketball program can go. It feels like everything's lined up for this to be one of those true golden eras of sports on the 40 acres. So, and men's basketball is a big part of that. And if Texas gets a guy like Keyonte George, that is a massive step towards getting to that point where Texas was not all that long ago, when top to bottom, sport by sport, Texas was probably the best athletic program in the country. And I know that's Chris Del Conte's expectation. That's where they want to be. And again, Keyonte George can be that guy, that kind of guy for Chris Beard to help Texas get there on the hardwood. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Our Longhorn Notebook, we'll talk a little Longhorn football, that topic I wanted to mention as we stand here 92 days away from kickoff. We'll get to that in a little bit more. We've also got our Inconceivable segment coming up. So, and not much more time to get it into with an abbreviated show, only 1 hour for Light the Tower today. So we'll try to fit it all in when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Zinjously.
Back here on a Friday, an abbreviated Friday edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way at UFCU Dish Falk Field. Getting ready to call it Texas baseball game today. It is Texas and Southern game one of the Austin Regional. 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch here on the Horn. And we also gave you the breaking Texas basketball news. Keyonte George, five-star guard, the number one ranked prospect in the state of Texas, according to both 24/7 Sports and the 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings, the number six overall prospect in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings. He is on campus right now for his official visit. So if you see the Texas basketball staff walking around on campus, show Keyonte George some love, Longhorn fans. You can't put into words how massive of a recruitment that would be for Chris Beard if they were to win the sweepstakes for Keyonte George. Let's go ahead and hit the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Love Cedar Park Overhead Doors. And I want to get to our pack break Friday. We don't have time to get into all this, but I'll tell you what, again, I'll show everybody on Twitch. And Snoop, the good thing is I'm starting to see card prices come down a little bit in terms of retail and hobby. So Chronicles is great if you're like me. I don't want to spend, you know, premium dollar to get like super high end stuff. But this is fun because there's so much unique stuff. You know, one of the, this is, I think it's Panini's best product. Like, Snoop, you remember, like, when we were knee-deep in the hobby, like, you had football brands like Pacific and Score. Yes. Well, Panini got the rights to all of those. So they pretty much bought those out. So they print, like, old, like, the old Score designs and the old Pacific designs.
I remember.
That now they print those and put those in packs. And the one thing I love about Chronicles is you get so much variety. This is a 15-card value pack, the what they call a fat pack, and you're looking for Omegas. It's the old Pacific Omega design.
How much are those packs each so people can?
I picked this one up for $20.
Ooh,
but okay. you can look on. I'll tell you a great place if you want to buy packs or blaster boxes or hobby boxes. Man, Facebook Marketplace. No joke. Like, you can buy. I saw these fat packs. I saw them going for like $10-$12 on Facebook Marketplace. So that's a really good place. But the Omega design, Snoop, I love this design. That's the Chase Young Omega rookie. So that's a really nice hit from that pack.
Chase Young rookie card.
I love these.
He's going to terrorize the Cowboys, but whatever.
You know, I love these kind of see-through cards, the translucent card. This is a playoff James Robinson rookie card.
Oh, that's lit.
See-through.
Dog, he went off for Jacksonville last year.
And remember
year.
How I told you, like, the major hits, you want the quarterbacks. You want any of the quarterbacks. That's the Gridiron Kings. This was in that same pack, a Gridiron Kings Tua. That I love those Gridiron Kings cards.
Your girlfriend, Vailoa.
It's modeled after the old Diamond Kings cards.
Yes.
I love that. And then, as if that wasn't enough, later on in that pack, the hottest football player in the hobby right now, that's a Justin Herbert rookie card.
Dang.
In the old
Duke's lung.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for the trainer piercing Tyrod Taylor's lungs, who knows what he would have done.
Exactly. And then a nice Jerry Jeudy to finish it off. So I love, I don't vouch for products. Panini doesn't pay me anything, but I love, love that Chronicles product.
You got sleeves, so much, son?
I got sleeves in my bag, okay. And I got top loaders in my bag, so all this is going to get taken care of during the break. But let's talk a little Longhorn football, Snoop. 92 days until kickoff. I mentioned in the first segment how once we get back into the studio on Monday, we'll be in the 80s. We'll be 89 days until kickoff, so we're going to miss 91 and 90. So I just thought of the number 90 as a whole, kind of 90-plus, and it takes me back to something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And I thought about this. I went by Barnes & Noble after the show. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Kind of looking at preseason magazines just to see what's out right now. Like, I know Phil Steele is not out. I know at noon, our friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, they're going to do the cover reveal for who's going to be on the cover for this year's Dave Campbell's Texas Football, which is always a big deal. It's still, you know, even though times have changed and how we gather our information has changed, I still love getting my hard copy of DCTF just to have it on the shelf. I'll read it cover to cover. The writing in there, and Greg Tepper and his staff, they do a phenomenal job on the magazine each and every year. So that'll come out. But I want to see what's out there. So you've got a couple of preseason publications that are already out. Lindy's is out. Athlon is out. And kind of, you know, for the regional covers, like, they'll put an A&M guy on there. They'll put a Texas guy on there, maybe a TCU, Baylor, U of H. They'll put somebody. And for the regional covers for Lindy's and Athlon, Deshaun Jameson is on the cover of both. And I was like, you know, I wonder if some of these publications are doing the same thing that PFF did. Where did you see what the Pro Football Focus had the other day, Snoop? They did kind of one of those kind of four-part deals, like who would last 2 minutes, who gets the ball, and they put a picture of Deshaun Jameson, and I think they meant to put a picture of Bijan Robinson. So I'm wondering, like, are the magazines, are they getting the wrong five? I don't know. Or maybe they're just giving some love to the senior. But Deshaun Jameson, why the number 90 is relevant, because I still go back to the fact, Snoop, that he's the only player in school history that has a 90-plus yard punt return for a touchdown and a 90-plus yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Only Jordan Shipley has more return touchdowns as a Longhorn than Deshaun Jameson does. And Deshaun Jameson is the only player in school history that I've been able to find that has a punt return, a kickoff return, and a blocked extra point return back the other way. Now, the blocked PAT, that only goes for 2 points. But, oh, by the way, that was in a 2-point win over Kansas in 2019. So A, you really needed that play, and B, I went back and pulled up a highlight from that game this morning just so I wasn't mistaken. That was a 90-yard run back he had on that block PAT by Malcolm Roach in that Kansas game. So when you talk about explosive playmakers, and when we talk about that, we devote all of our time to talking about the Texas offense. Who's going to, and I thought Bucky and Trey this morning had a really good conversation on Roschon Johnson. And, you know, Snoop, that's a position not just with Bijan Robinson, but I feel really good about the running back position on this Texas team, just in terms of both top-end talent and depth. When you look at Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson, and Roe, I think, is a little underrated, maybe underappreciated for what he can do as a receiver. This is a guy that's got a season on his resume where he's got 20-plus catches, so he can be a little, bring your offense a little bit of diversity if you want to play both running backs at the same time, and that's something Steve Sarkisian said he wants to do. But you got Gabriel Watson, and if Daniel Young is your fourth running back, you can do a heck of a lot worse than having Danny Young as your fourth running back. Oh, and by the way, Jonathan Brooks, your four-star signing from Hallettsville, he's now on campus. So you got five that you should feel really good about. But I say all that to say this. When we talk about explosive playmakers, we typically limit that conversation to the offensive side of the ball. But we shouldn't. Because DeSean Jameson's got the kind of skills. If he's put in the right position and he's got ball skills, he's shown that he can get his hands on the football. He's shown that he can make big plays on defense. And I just went over what he did in the return game. DeSean Jameson can be a guy even at corner slash return man that can change the game for you. I love, it's one of Rod Baber's favorite sayings, and I love it. There are guys who move the chains and guys who change the game. Bijan Robinson is a guy who changes the game. When he was on the 40, Devin Duvernay was a guy who changed the game. And DeSean Jameson is a guy who changes the game when he's got the ball on his hands.
He even changed the orange and white game.
Yes, did have a, and I that was 90-plus, the pick six he had in the red zone of Casey Thompson. So, CB saying it's DeSean Jameson's birthday today. That was not planned on my part. Is it really? I'll look that up during the break. If it's the Sharks' birthday. That was totally unintentional on my part. I was coming in here wanting to talk to DeSean Jameson regardless. But that's kind of your 90, 92, 91, 90 countdown days till kickoff. Just wanted to talk a little DeSean Jameson and just kind of reinforce the fact that I'm not saying play him on offense, but look, we've seen the impact he has in the return game. And the story about him that I love going to is not necessarily the return touchdowns he's had, but that comeback Texas had against Texas Tech. DeSean Jameson played a really big role in that because that botched sky kick they had. Matt Wells, after the game, said they tried to sky kick it because they did not want the ball in DeSean Jameson's hands. That's the kind of respect he's got, A, around the league, and B, the kind of impact he can have on the game. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to draw a correlation between a corner and the number 92, but we're 92 days away from kickoff. We'll be out of the 90s by the time we get back. So, giving DeSean Jameson a little love. Snoop, have you verified whether it's the Sharks?
It's bringing up some other DeSean. How many DeSean Jamesons are there?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure that out during the break.
But, if CB says it, I said it, I don't doubt
it. I have no reason to doubt
this.
To doubt the CB 9000. No reason at all to doubt him. Real quick, I'll get this text on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Text says, hey, Jeff, other than the Sooners, who's Texas' toughest opponent? I'll get more into this maybe next week, but it's definitely going to be something I talk about. When you talk about toughest opponents on the schedule, man, until Texas starts beating TCU on somewhat – of a regular basis, you really have to put the Horned Frogs in the top three of the toughest games Texas is going to play all season. Especially now that, you know, we're back to full capacity in stadiums, and that game's going to be in Fort Worth. And even though there are typically a healthy chunk of Texas fans that show up for that game, man, Gary Patterson's just got Texas number right now. So that to me is a game that if I'm putting together, if I'm ranking the games 1 through 12 of the toughest, TCU's in the top three almost by default. That Louisiana game for me, I feel like at least from a media standpoint, everybody here on the station and those who cover the team, I feel like everybody has got their heads wrapped around that Louisiana game to open the season is going to be pretty tough. just because of, I think everybody saw what Billy Napier's club did last year and the kind of athletes they have, and going into Ames at the start of the year and just really putting it on Iowa State. And then, obviously, for all the reasons we talked about, I mean, the game in Fayetteville, it's going to be a full house. It's going to be something like a lot of the guys on this roster have yet to experience. So, yeah, all things considered, I mean, that's why, going back to something I talked about yesterday, when my personal bar for Steve Sarkisian in year one, can he just improve the win total by one, get them to 8? Man, 8-4, considering you're breaking in a new quarterback and you're replacing an All-American left tackle and you lose your most impactful defender in Joseph Osai, man, if you go 8-4 with all those things considered against this schedule, that's not a bad year, and that's not a – now, again, all losses are not created equal, so if there's a really ugly loss like Tom Herman's Maryland losses, or, heaven forbid, some of those Charlie Strong losses that were over by halftime, that changes the complexion of the conversation we're having. But overall, man, if you go a competitive 8-4 against that schedule with everything that you've got going on in-house, I think that's something Longhorn fans should feel pretty good about going into bowl season and as far as the trajectory of this program. I did want to talk a little Longhorn baseball, but we ended up covering a lot of that in the conversation with Craig. Yeah, so I think the fact that Tristan Stevens is starting, I like a guy that can work quick, a guy that can hold runners. And I think the main reason why Tristan's so good at holding runners is, I think you forget sometimes too, because he's been so good as a starter this year, you forget that he was in that stopper role where, man, if there's a mess on the base pass and you just need to get a critical out in those middle innings or late innings, he was the guy David Pierce would call on to get the job done, and did a really good job of getting out and getting this team out of messes. So there's that part of it, but I do like the fact, too, depending on what his pitch count looks like and how the game goes, if you get into a situation where you're playing like a winner-take-all on Monday, maybe he can come back and give you an inning or give you an out, and then maybe you just flip your rotation back, and in the first game of a Super Regional, you go Ty Madden, then you go Tristan Stevens on Saturday, and then if you get to a third game, you go Pete Hansen right there. So I do like the way the pitching staff sets up, but this is a big weekend for Ty Madden. Got roughed up a little bit in his last two outings against West Virginia, so whether it's Fairfield or Arizona State, can he get back up on the horse? And then, you know, we just talked about it, Snoop, with Craig. Ivan Melendez coming off just a really forgettable Big 12 tournament for him. The team did not hit the ball very well at all in Oklahoma City. And one of the things that I'm really looking at, I've said it all year, man, when this team has been really good, they've been really good at situational hitting in key situations. When they've struggled, they haven't been. Perfect example, in the Big 12 tournament, 10 for 42 with two outs, 4 for 23 with runners in scoring position, 0 for 4 with the bases loaded. So those numbers, if Texas is going to get out of the regional and get to next weekend, those numbers have got to improve. All right, take a break, come back. We're actually going to finish off today's show with a little Inconceivable, and since it is Friday, we're going down to Florida, see if we can find our craziest news story of the week. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable! Inconceivable!
You keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable means it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and our friends at Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you or your athlete has suffered an injury that requires orthopedic attention, get over to austin-orthopedics.com and get set up with Dr. Matthew J. Crawford. Let them get you back in the game, not just on the court or on the field, but back in the game of life at austin-orthopedics.com. We've got one today, Snoop, and boy, just count all the caution markers in this little opening sentence as we go to, in the words of Trey Elling, the most flaccid state in the union. Mm. We go to Florida because it is a Florida Friday. A 25-year-old Florida man is recovering after being attacked by an alligator while he was searching for prehistoric shark teeth in a river last weekend. Okay? Boy, again, this is in Tampa, Pinellas County. You're carrying the banner for the state of Florida this year for wacky news stories. It seems like, Snoop, Dang near every Florida man's or Florida woman story we've had is generated from Pinellas County or the Tampa St. Pete area. A healthy portion of them. Tampa resident Jeffrey Heim was searching for megalodon shark teeth in the Mica River. M-Y-A-K-K. I'm sorry, I'm not up on my Florida geography or topography. And was only in the water for a few minutes when he was hit with such force that he thought it was a boat. Quote, "I thought it was a propeller. It hit me so hard. I realized I was inside its mouth.
Oh, my God.
And if the alligator hadn't decided to let me go on its own, there was nothing I could have done to fight it." He thinks the alligator that attacked him was about 9 feet long and likely a female, possibly looking to protect her eggs. Last month, Florida wildlife experts warned people to take increased caution over the next couple of months as alligator mating season began in May and continues through the summer. Following the attack, Heim was left with 34 stitches in his head, a minor skull fracture, and bite marks on one of his hands. And because of the swelling in his head, he is still unable to open his left eye. Doctors told Heim that he does not have any brain damage from the attack and is expected to make a full recovery. Both his doctors and Heim agreeing that his ability to come out on the other side of this attack alive and without more severe injuries is a miracle. Quote, "If it would have got me anywhere else, it could have been a different story. The chance of me walking away from that is why it's a miracle," said Heim. So, you know what, though, Snoop? It never says why this guy was searching for shark teeth on some random river in Tampa, Florida. Do megalodon teeth just, do they surface in Pinellas County, USA?
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Apparently he wants to sell them.
Yeah, but
maybe he's looking for a hustle.
On a river? On a freshwater river, shark teeth are just going to, do they populate there? Do they gather there? Well, has there been a previous sighting? Like, I don't know. Part of me thinks if you're looking for shark teeth on a river and during alligator mating season, that's almost, I don't know. I don't want to say you get what you deserve, but man, that's, I don't feel too bad for you. You could, put it this way, Snoop, I would have made up some other excuse as to why I was the victim of a shark attack, not that I was looking for megalodon teeth.
Well, okay, here you go.
Did you ever see?
This is what he heard as he was searching for the megalodon teeth.
Did you ever see that movie, The Meg? I think Jason, Jason Statham was in it, wasn't he?
Is it like a... The Meg, I can't even remember what it's about, though. The Meg, hold, I know I've seen it move.
It was about, I think I saw it on FX at one time.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The big-ass shark. Oh, for sure, yeah, I've seen
that. Okay, one time Florida rivers were covered by the ocean. Thank you, Seabucks. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know my Florida geography well enough. Snoop, let's get to one more here real quick before we get out of here.
Okay, all right.
This is to file this away under people that need to be boiled in oil and have their fat sold for soap. A Florida man has been arrested in connection with the theft of nearly 200 ventilators intended for critically ill COVID-19 patients in Central America, federal prosecutors said. This gentleman was arrested in Del Rio, Texas. He's a Florida man who was arrested in Texas on Thursday. Yoelvis Dennis Hernandez was 42, was arrested in Del Rio, according to a statement from the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida. It's unclear if he and another man are accused of stealing a tractor trailer carrying 192 ventilators from a lot at Miami International Airport on August 9th, 2020. The ventilators acquired by the United States Agency for International Development were to be transported to an intensive care unit in El Salvador as part of an aid program. The trailer was stolen from a lot where it was parked overnight. Law enforcement later recovered most of the ventilators. According to court documents, the ventilators are worth about $3 million. So, yeah. No, not a nap guy. That's not Tavo's brother that pulled off this heist. Shame on you.
Tavo.
Shame on you for suggesting that. So, yeah. Boil an oil and have your fat sold for soap. I think if you steal ventilators intended for COVID patients, that certainly qualifies. All right. Guess what that means? We're done for today.
That's crazy.
I'm going to head over to Dish Fog Field.
Oh, that's where you going?
Yep. Snoop is going to get ready to...
Glenn High School, Georgetown versus Aledo softball state 5A semifinals.
All of that, a lot of great stuff going on in and around the greater Austin area. Keontae George on his official visit to Texas. So much good stuff going down on the 40 this weekend, and we've got it. We'll have it for you plenty in Horns 24-7, and we're going to have a lot for you here on the Horn. Stay tuned. Shirts and Skins coming up next. Don't forget 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch, Texas and Southern, game one of the Austin Regional. But before that, Chad and Trey will lead you up to that pregame show with a little Shirts and Skins coming up next on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
You know, Khloe Kardashian doesn't look anything like she used to.
I was saying that the other day. Is that Khloe?
Well, Khloe used to look like O.J. Simpson, we thought, for a long time. And no. Now she looks.